Lord, thank you that we can come and celebrate the name that is above every name. We lift your name on high this day, Lord, and we thank you that your will be done. Lord, that these finances, Father, would be stretched, be multiplied. 100-fold, my Lord, that you would open up the floodgates, Lord, and give us the ability to do what you've called us to do, Lord, to reach the many, Lord, to reach the lost, to feed the hungry, to care for the widows and the orphans, Lord. Thank you for your strategy, Lord, in using this finance. Thank you, God, that we would be held accountable as stewards, Lord. And Lord, thank you for this day that we can come and celebrate together as a family. Thank you for this opportunity to worship your name together in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that my words would be pleasing unto your heart, Lord God, that they would go forth and they would do that what you have sent them to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Don't we just love this team? Love them, man. So in case you might be wondering, I've decided to reinstate hats as a prerequisite to coming to church. That's right. I think we'll be a very stylish looking bunch. And the biggest mistake they ever did was to give me a pointer. Where does this work? See me? So, as I've warned before, remember if you fall asleep, I can point at you. Okay. So, bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. It's my privilege to share the word. And, I'm very blessed by this word. As always, God is good and he is faithful. And I can definitely vouch for that. Okay, I know that I'm wearing the highest heels I have, so you must be able to see me. I'm not standing on the stage. This morning, the title of my message is Living a Life Without Fear. Now, I know this is something every single one of us deals with. I'll tell you a little bit just now of how I came across this word, but I find it very encouraging to come to us at this time. How would you like to live a life without fear? Anyone? Okay, that's great. Do you think it's even possible? Yes. Amen. I must warn you, it's quite a challenge though. Doctors have identified more than 700 types of phobias. 700 types of phobias. Phobia, Greek word for fear. Okay, I'm going to name some of them, but I'm going to say them in Greek if you don't mind, for the Greek version. Acrophobia, the fear of high places. Acre is an edge, so it's like obviously when you're on the edge there, acrophobia. Claustrophobia, don't know how to say that in Greek. Fear of enclosed areas. Okay. Ergophobia, the fear of work. And ergo is a work. Themophobia, fear of crowds. Gamophobia, fear of marriage. I know some people like that. This is a strange one. Phobophobia, the fear of fear. How's that, eh? And then there's one that I thought was very special, the glossophobia. A gloss is a tongue. It's the fear of speaking in public. I'm okay. No worries. But don't think fear is restricted to age. Children fear being alone. Adolescents fear rejection. Young adults fear failure. And older adults fear death. They fear living a life with no meaning. Fear has a way of getting to each and every one of us. And rather living a life, a victorious life that Jesus Christ died for, we end up living a defeated life with fears. Romans 8:15, and I think we've got the presentation started. So Romans 8:15, Paul refers to these fears as bondage. If you just read with me, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. So with all the fears we face in this life, is it possible to live without fear? Do you think it's possible? Okay, this morning I'm going to get quite charismatic with you guys. So let me let you in on the secret of living without fear. It's an incredible scripture, Psalm 34:4. If you don't know it, we're going to memorize it this morning. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Guys, this is seriously the key. This is a scripture we're going to memorize. Okay, so we're going to say it all together. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me all my fears. Amen. He delivered me from all my fears. Is there any fear in your life, do you think, that the Lord cannot deal with? Let me tell you how I came about this scripture that we got, our passage for today. That's not it, but it's a very good one. But our passage for today is Psalm 91. So if you want to turn there with me in your Bibles, Psalm 91. Even now I have the shakes. Let me tell you how I came about this. Jo knows my woes. I was on the phone with her for hours last night, eh, Jo? Yet again, I have another family, more family sitting here amongst us today, although they're trying to hide in the congregation. They're trying to be inconspicuous. My sister and my brother-in-law are here from Johannesburg. I'm going to point at them. Those two people right there. And it's just so strange when family comes around, then I just fall apart. No, but it's again, you know, Yanni always says this to me, whatever the Lord puts in our heart to speak on, we get tested on, you know. And I got gripped by incredible fear. I don't usually get nervous. I know it sounds crazy, but I often even say, I don't know if I'm just too stupid to know better, but I don't get nervous when it's time to preach. I have this like incredible calm that comes over me, but look, today I'm shaking. And so I got to that place again, and I really hope eventually this is something that either happens in the beginning when you start preaching and just wears off, but again I was stuck. I was like, Lord, what am I going to speak on? What are you saying to me for your children? And obviously there's things that God's always telling us, you know what I mean? You go your quiet time and it could be this and it could be that, and oh, there's just so, the Bible is so full of incredible things to speak on. You agree? Okay. And I landed up just totally stuck again. So I said to Yanni, that's it. It was Thursday morning. I said to him, I'm not moving from this house. I'm not eating until I know what the Lord wants from me. And I literally sat in prayer till about 12. I was wailing before the Lord, and I was in the Lord, but it was amazing. He just took me away from myself, took me away from everything that I thought was a problem, and he just took me into himself. And in this place, he gave me Psalm 91. But again, you know, I came out of it, and I was reading this, and I was like, oh, Lord, you've blessed me. And he showed me that this is exactly what we all go through. You know, we all get caught up in our fears, the fear of failure, fear of rejection, the fear of being criticized, the fear of being judged, the fear of fears. They come and they grip us. And it's when you go into that place. So that's how I came to Psalm 91. So if you're there, let's read today. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truths shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Hallelujah. Isn't that just so the most beautiful thing you've ever read? So what is the psalmist saying here that we need to do to experience the fear? So I'm just going to take this apart for you a bit, okay? He's saying, firstly, we need to experience the secret place. In verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And then in verse 5, he says, shall not be afraid. Amen. Okay, so but how wonderful that When the world's troubles, when we don't know which way to turn, when our heart's being broken, when our kids are being attacked, when things are going wrong in our lives, when it feels like the world's caving in, we have a secret place to run to. Amen. Okay, but where is the secret place? This is what we're going to find out today. Yanni spoke about this a little bit last week, so I'm just going to sort of recap. Matthew 6:6-8 says, "But you, when you pray," and you don't have to turn with your Bibles, I'm just going to read it to you and it should be up there. "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words, for their many works." "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." Amen. Brothers and sisters, our greatest privilege is prayer. Do you understand that? Our greatest privilege is to come into the secret place before our Father. This is what Jesus died for. This is the place. Some of you might say to me, "But I don't know how to pray." This is all more the reason to come into that secret place. You see, in that secret place, you are absolutely who you are. You are who God made you to be. He knows you. No one knows you like your Father. In no other place can you be more real than in that secret place before God. You see, in that place, the healing comes. In that place, okay, I won't carry on too much. Okay, in the secret place, your faith is deepened. So if you are short of faith, come to the secret place. There's a quote by Martin Luther. "If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith." Hey? You'll never have a deep faith in God without spending time in the secret place. There's also, this is the place where your trust is developed. You see, when things go wrong, who do you go to? Who do you run to? Where do you run to for counsel when things are going wrong? In your business, in your marriages, where do you run to? Ask yourself that question now, really. I mean, ask yourself seriously, where do I go? Because if it's not God, it's because possibly you don't know him. Possibly you're not comfortable in that secret place. Am I right? Anybody? Guys, I've got a pointer. I will point Jeff, you're sleeping. All right. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall not be afraid." Okay. Why do you go to the secret place? Do you go there to impress him? Do you think you impress God by praying? Anyone? Boy, you had an all late night last night. Do you think you impress God? Okay. Do you think you inform God? Okay, God knows everything. Amen. Okay. We are, the purpose of the secret place is not to impress God and not to inform God, but to join God in what he is doing. Amen. Do you want to be a part of what God is doing? Then you've got to get to the secret place. But when you experience the secret place, it's then you shall not be afraid. It's then that you will experience peace that passes understanding. Amen. So we experience the secret place when we enter the sacred place. Go back to it. Verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So first you experience the secret place, then you can enter into the sacred place. Now we're going to do a history lesson, so I'm going to be testing your knowledge. A lot of you have studied this in Bible school. In the time, in Exodus, around 25 verse from there on, Moses has gone into the mountain. He's received the Ten Commandments, and he's also received the plans for the tabernacle, where the Israelites are going to worship the Lord. And it's quite a portable system. All right, so it was always in the center of the camp, and we've got some pics. So if we can show the tabernacle, All right. Can you see that? There we go. We've got a pointer. Can you see that you, there's the camp of Israel, right? These are the different, the 12 tribes. And this is the tabernacle, according to the plans they received from the Lord. There's an outer court and an inner court. Okay, and then we can go to the next one. Okay, this is a more exacting plan. So there's the outer courtyard, and that was the inner court, and then there's the Holy of Holies. Okay, so we are trying to establish the sacred place. In the Holy of Holies was, does anybody know? Amen. We have very intelligent people. We had the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was where the Israelites experienced, well, this is where the Shekinah glory of God was. The Shekinah glory was the presence of God Most High. Now, let me explain this. The Ark of the Covenant had two cherubim. The cherubim were angels that we had encountered in the Garden of Eden. The cherubim, as you can see, are not looking at each other. They're looking down at the slab here. That slab was a gold slab, and it's called the mercy seat. Okay? Their wings covered the ark. Can you see their wings, how they cover it? Okay? But they're looking down at the mercy seat. That was a slab of gold that was sprinkled with blood. When the sacrifices were done back in the outer court, that's where they burnt the animals, and they took the blood, and that's where the blood was spread. Okay? That is where the glory of God, the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God was. That's how literally once a year the high priest would go into that place and meet with God. The high priest only. Okay, that was the glory of God. But you see, now we have something incredible, guys. We have the ability to go into that sacred place. You see, that's why I say to you, prayer is your biggest privilege. Okay, so that's the Shekinah glory. And where he talks about, so go back to where he says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So that right there on the mercy seat is where you are. You are right there. Whew, what a peace and security knowing that to experience the secret place is to enter the sacred place. I have an illustration which I'm mostly going to read, but if you can follow with me. Okay, now this is you. I'm going to tell you who you are. Okay, so you are in the desert, and the Israelites have just come out of Egypt. And you come across this. Can we go back to that picture of the first one of the tabernacle? So you come across these tents, and you come across these what looks like temples, or I don't know, some place of worship, okay? So you're walking across, and you come across this, okay? But now, let's suppose you're a Moabite. Does anyone know who the Moabites, more history? The Moabites were a cursed people, okay? They had received the curse of God. They did not know God, all right? Israel had the Shekinah glory, the presence of God. The Moabites were removed from God. Okay. So you come across, so let's suppose you're walking along there, and you're walking past, let's say, Asher. Sounds like Asher, so we'll say Asher. Okay, so we're walking past here, Asher, right here, and then there's these three guys sitting right there, you see? And you're walking past them, and you see this whole thing, and you say to this one guy, what is there? And he says, that is where we worship God. That's where we commune with God Most High. And you said to him, but I would like to go in there. And he would say, you cannot go in because you're a Moabite and not an Israelite. The curse of God is in you, on you. And you asked him, what would I have to do in order to go in there? So you see, he wants to go in there. He wants to go inside now. What would I have to do to go in there? The Israelite would say, well, you would have to be born again. And you'd have to be born an Israelite. And then you could go in there. Okay, everybody with me? Well, you say, as you look through the gates and you see the people making sacrifices, if I go in there, I would want to serve. He would say, well, even if you were an Israelite, you wouldn't be able to serve unless you were a Levite. Because the Levites were the priests. They were the tribe of the priests. And you say, if I was the tribe of Levi, I'd tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to be the one making those sacrifices. Oh, he would say, you couldn't do that unless you were the house of Aaron. Well, you ask, what's behind the veil? He would say, that's the Holy of Holies. You ask, what's in there? He would say, the glory of God is in there. You say, if I could, I'd like to go back there. He would say, you couldn't go back there, even if you were the tribe of Levi and the house of Aaron. You would have to be elected and anointed as the high priest before you could go in there. And you say, is that so? Well, if I were the high priest, I'd tell you what I'd like to do. I would go in there 3 times a day. And he would say, you couldn't go in there 3 times a day. Even if you were the high priest, you could go in there once a year. So now, keeping with this conversation, just let it linger in your minds a moment longer. Hebrews 10, 19 to 21. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having as high priest over the house of God. Hallelujah. Do you get that? Jesus Christ is your high priest. You can go into that Holy of Holies, into that secret place as many times a day as you want. When you're afraid, when the world is coming against you, you don't have to go and sacrifice an animal. You don't have to go and wait in line once a year. There's a quote from Dr. Ernest Easley. It was a picture of the flesh of Jesus Christ. That veil was made of blue, scarlet, and purple. The scarlet was a picture of his blood. The blue speaks of heaven. And when you mix scarlet and blue, you get purple, the color of royalty. When you look at the color purple, you cannot see when the scarlet ends and the blue begins. That's the way it is with the nature of Jesus, fully God, fully man, the God-man. We've come through the veil, through his flesh, by the blood of Christ, into the Holy of Holies. Amen. Oh, to the experience, the place, and then to enter into the sacred place. That's the sacred place. So people, that's how we live a life free from fear. We experience that secret place and we enter into that sacred place. You know, when fear comes against you and tells you you're not good enough for God, or you're not good enough to worship because Satan comes to condemn you. When fear comes and steals your joy and you can't go and worship freely before your God. You see, that's what he's trying to steal from you. Getting you into that Holy of Holies, into that sacred place that Jesus Christ bled and died for. He wants you in there with him all the time. Okay, that's the place. That's the safe place. So from that safe place, you can enjoy the securest place. The securest place. Go to Psalm 91, verse 2. And I like the way the NLT wrote this. So I'm going to reread it. Not all of it, but the NLT is the New Living Translation, and says, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust him. Verse 9 to 11 says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Did you see those angels watching over that place? You see, that was just a form we were given. Now we've got it in the spiritual. You don't see it like that, but we're not limited to one place for one person. In verse 15 to 16 says, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, people, man. This doesn't get you. The secret place, which is the sacred place, is the securest place. When you get into trouble, When things come against you, you run into the secret place, into the sacred place, into the securest place. You run into the arms of your God. Now, again, we're going to use our imaginations. I'm just going to read one scripture. It's Proverbs 18:10, and says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe." Another scripture worth memorizing, man. Okay, so you are a king. Now, you're in medieval times, the Dark Ages, and you are a king, okay? And you have a little kingdom. Do you know about the Dark Ages? Did anyone do history? I know school was like only 5 years ago. Kidding. All right. So in those Dark Ages, there were lots of these little kingdoms. Do you know that? There weren't these great big kingdoms. A kingdom could have been 50 people. Do you know that? Okay. If you don't, I'm telling you. So you are one of those kings. You can choose however big you want your kingdom to be. Megalomaniacs, be good. Just all right. So you've got this kingdom, but you've got to protect your kingdom, your people. Okay. So you've got to prepare a place for them that is secure and safe, a place when the enemy comes and attacks them, they can run into. Okay. Okay. So let me find my notes again. Hold on. Okay, so now the enemy is coming against you, and you have built a fortress, all right? You've built a fortress for your people, because how it worked, actually, can we go to the next slide? Next one? There we go. Okay, this is a typical example of a fortress, but this was a megalomaniac, and a big, big kingdom. Okay. So they used to build these fortresses, and on the outside, you can see that's where the people lived. Okay, so the king lived inside, but in the middle, they had like food, and they had a place where if there was siege, the people would run in, they would close the gates, and then they were safe. Okay, is everyone following me? Yeah. Great. Okay, so you are this king. Now you've prepared this fortress, all right? So the Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it as safe." So, what do you think is necessary for your fortress to be effective? Strong walls. Very good. Anything else? I wish I had sweets. I would throw them at you. That's my brother-in-law. He's a megalomaniac. He said nuclear weapons. Okay. I'm going to tell you what you need. You need to be perfectly situated. You need it to be quite high up, okay? You need it to be sufficient. It's got to have food. See, some of the times the seizures would last quite a long time, so you would need to be able to provide food and armaments and weapons and stuff like that, okay? You need it to be stable. It cannot be a shack. Cannot be down like this. You need it to be stable, and it's got to be able to withstand attack, and you need it to be secure. Okay, this makes for a good fortress. Now let's put it all together. So it's perfectly situated, sufficient, stable, and secure. Now, let's look back at verse 1. Notice what the names of God mentioned here. People, let me explain to you why I'm going to go into this. I don't just like history for the sake of it, although I really do. Let me explain. The reason we don't run to God, the reason we don't run into the arms of our God is we don't know His name. The Bible says we do not boast in chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord. Okay. If you don't know His name, you can't boast in His name. I encourage you this morning, know the names of your God. Know who He says He is and trust Him. In verse 4. Let me just quickly run. It says, if you give me a sec, I'm just going to see what it says. It says, "His truth shall be your shield and buckler." His truth is His name. But don't worry, it's not, is it back there? Okay. His truths, the promises of the Bible, okay? His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His name, you run into the name of your God. So let's see what this is about. Verse 1, the Almighty. He speaks of the Almighty. That speaks of the being the El Shaddai, the sufficient God. Speaks of God who nurtures his children, who cares for his children. Okay, verse 2, the Lord. Speaks of stability. It's the name Jehovah, which means he never had a beginning, never an ending, always was and always will be. Is that the most stable fortress you could possibly ask for? Then the third name, verse 2, my God, speaks of security. It's the name Elohim, the God who created everything. That is your God. Okay, so the security of our fortress is situated perfectly in the name Most High, in the name, in the sufficient Almighty, and in the stable Lord, and the secure my God. Do you understand? He will never let you down. So when you're inside the fortress, nothing can get to you except that which God allows, which have to come through God. So Psalm 91, I'm going to go back, 14 to 16 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Guys, that's your God talking to you. Your God is telling you this. There's a freedom from fear which begins running into the arms of your God. First, you experience the secret place by entering into the sacred place. And when you enter the sacred place, it's the most secure place you can play. This is a message which I really believe the Lord is. It's a time when so much is going wrong around us, it seems. It seems. But you guys, your God, the Creator, your God planned things from the beginning of time. Nothing surprises your God. Yours is the living God. And if you do not know Him enough to trust Him, if you don't know Him enough to run to Him for the first counsel, not the last counsel, not when you've spoken to everybody else you know, even in business, even in rearing your children, you run to Him first. Because I promise you, that's where you will find the real counsel. Your God knows. He knows everything. You don't need to inform Him. You don't need to tell Him. He knows. He's your Creator. He's your El Shaddai. He is your Elyon. He's your Elohim. He's your Creator. He made you. He knows you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Run into His arms. Do not allow fear to grip you. Whatever the fear is. Now, just if we could close our eyes. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where you're at in your life. I know that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He comes to steal your hope. He comes to steal your peace. He comes to steal everything that God has promised you. But the word is full of God's promises for you. He loves you, guys. He loves you independently, individually. You are His very own. But if you do not know your God this way this morning, I just really want to encourage you to ask Him to come and show you His character. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was sent to us to show us God, to show us our Father. Jesus came to show us the Father. The Spirit came to show us the Son. Ask the Spirit. The Bible says, ask and you will receive. You see, that scripture that we read earlier is actually one of the most misquoted scriptures of all time. If I could find it. Where the Spirit says He gave us a spirit not of fear, but to cry out, Abba, Father, it's because the sacred place has been anointed with the blood of Jesus, and you can come freely, not being afraid. You don't have to be afraid. So if you are in that place, I just want you to spend a few minutes, a minute, whatever. Come into His holy presence. Bring before Him these things that torment you, these things that bind you. Whatever the fear is that binds you, you do not have to live with it. It's not what God has for you. So we're going to speak to those fears this morning. Ask the Lord to reveal to you the name. I want you to think about it, okay? Take a minute and think about those fears. Almost like list them in your mind. Okay? And I want you to ask the Lord, we're going to just take a moment to just pray. Ask the Lord to reveal to you the name, His name, that surpasses that fear. His name that comes against that fear. You see, the names of God, the Bible says we boast in the name of our God. There is a name of God that will cover that fear. So whatever it is, if it's the fear of rejection, if it's the fear of not being good enough, let me just tell you, your God made you in His image. He formed you. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you don't know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, bring that to the Lord this morning. All right. Hallelujah. Father. Mighty is your name, Lord, forever and ever. Lord, we boast in your name this morning. Lord, we come against every fear. Lord, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love. Lord, this morning we come into your presence boldly. You are our Father. God, there is nothing that can keep us from your Holy of Holies anymore, Lord. No sin, because we confess the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, whose blood covers us. And this morning, God, we bring you every fear that binds us. We come against that bondage in Jesus' name. We lay it here on the altar, Lord. We lay it here on the ark, Lord. We lay it here, Lord, and it is covered by the blood of Jesus. It is removed in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are doing a work in each and every one of our lives, Lord, that we no longer have to walk in fear. We are no longer bound by the fear of rejection or failure or death, because we know whose we are. We know where we are going. Lord, we don't have to fear that our children are failing or our children will be lost, Lord, because the security is in you, God. So we give them to you this morning. We bring them into that sacred place, into that secure place, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you are doing a work in each of our hearts, that you are faithful to complete, Lord. But Father, I thank you that we can walk every day in peace, in the security of knowing our Father God. But if you are here this morning and you do not know your Father God, please, I'm urging you, don't leave here without coming to know Him. You know, even if you've walked with Him all your life, but you think you know Him, but you don't run to Him, question yourself, why am I not running to Him? Do I know Him? Okay, can the band come up? Hallelujah. We're just going to sing a song. Take a moment. Stay in worship. When we finished, you're welcome, please, to join us for some tea and coffee and kale and cook. I don't know what we've got. but if you need ministry, if you need to know the Lord God, if you have walked away from God, guys, to have the ultimate place of security available to you and not to run into it. Don't do that. Don't live this life wandering around, feeling lost, desperate. If you want to know who you really are, if you really want to know who you are, If you don't know your identity, if you don't know who you were made to be, come up here this morning. If you've walked away from the arms of God, come up here this morning. We'll be here to minister to you. Don't be ashamed. It's the most beautiful place. Run into the arms of God. And tomorrow morning, and every morning, and every day, and every night, whenever it is, run into the secret place. That's where you'll find your strength. That's where you'll find your strategy. Amen. Okay.
I just want to add to what Kat said. Sometimes it's like when we come to church or when there's an altar call, or, you know, when we go to the, when we need to go to the front or want to go to the front, we kind of feel awkward or there's something that comes up. And I just want to put my 10 cents worth in here, but like Kat was saying, you know, we can go into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. And I mean, God has taken us all through things, and we just need to trust Him. We need to trust the blood of Jesus, and we make it a religious thing. You know, we get scared and we get all, you know, but we don't need to do that.
Okay.
No, we don't need to do that.
Okay. Hallelujah.